Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sox Machine.
Josh Nelson, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast, the internet's longest running White Sox podcast.
Rick Hahn's work is done.
SoxMachine.com.
We're all White Sox fans here. I know this is the home of the Chicago Cubs. We're all rooting for this team to make it to the World Series. There's going to be some highs and there's going to be some lows, and it's all about trying to find that middle ground.
Josh Nelson with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
That's right. Josh Nelson is here in the building. See, Tony, that's exactly the type of dance that you should do for the Sox Machine. Open. It's good. We aren't on Twitch today, so we apologize for that. So no one saw that except for the three of us in this room.
It was only four of you guys, so.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So Josh is here. Josh, before we get into the White Sox themselves, there's a couple of things that we wanted to go through with you. What was your reaction to hearing that Tim Anderson was DFA'd?
A bit sad and bittersweet and how it all ended for TA. James Fegan, Jim Margulis, and I were like texting back and forth, like, how do we want to cover this news? And James brought up a good point that I had forgotten, that before Anderson's injury in 2022, before Memorial Day weekend that May, Anderson was a two-war player, and that was top five in Major League Baseball. And then ever since that injury, he's never been the same. And I think he only had three extra base hits in his last 65 games of his career, and that's not going to do it. All these leg injuries, the groin injury, the hamstring injury, the knee injury has pretty much sapped all of his hitting ability, which was his biggest attribute in being a major leaguer, Lawrence. And then the defensive mistakes, and it was just – reading it from a Miami perspective, it just got too much, like too many fielding errors that they have, like Xavier Edwards and other shortstops that they're more confident and can play competent defense in the major league level, but they couldn't hit. So that's why they signed Tim Anderson to the contract that they did. I don't know what the future holds for TA. Maybe taking the rest of this season off and trying to get fully healthy and then signing some type of minor league contract. That was an idea from AJ Pierzynski on his show. And if he can prove that he's healthy next spring training and he's starting to hit the ball over the field, then maybe he gets a second chance. But it's not looking good for TA.
Josh, what was the fall off for TA? I mean, from batting 300 on a consistent basis to now being out of a job in the middle of a season.
In 2 years.
In 2 years. Like, yeah. How does that happen?
That's a great question. I think with all the leg injuries, he mentioned that he couldn't get his hips through the zone like he did especially in the 2019-2020 seasons. And when Tony La Russa came, La Russa wanted Tim Anderson to be more of the table setter. In 2019 and 2020, Anderson was feeling himself. Like, he was so good at hitting the slider after the slider just wrecked him in 2017 and 2018 that Anderson hit over 400 against that pitch, especially against righties, and he slugged well over 500. He was flashing power. And then La Russa comes, and he's like, I don't need you to be a 15-20 homer guy. I need you to be on base for Luis Robert and Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez. So Anderson changed his method of, I'm going to try to hit more singles. And then when you have the leg injuries and you have no power, those singles are going to disappear. Teams are going to pitch you differently, shift you differently, and he never adjusted offensively. So that's how you go from someone who could be the face of Major League Baseball, an all-star, to suddenly have no answers at the plate.
It had an incredible four-year run where not only everything you said, Josh, but it was one of the faces of Chicago sports. Yep. And that fall has also been pretty devastating for the sports landscape here.
There's a Sports Illustrated cover of Javier Baez and Tim Anderson. And I love that debate.
So hard.
I love that debate a few years ago. At least Javi got his money. That's the other heartbreaking thing, too, for Anderson, mm-hmm, that he watched all these shortstops sign these big contracts. I was just in Boston, and they don't have a nice thing to say about Trevor Story. And he's been dealing with injuries. But all these guys, got their bag. And here's Anderson without a bag. I mean, he's been paid well. Don't get me wrong, but all those guys got $100-plus million contracts, and he didn't.
Do you remember when people were saying that if things didn't work out for TA at short, maybe he's an outfielder? Do you think that there's any chance that that might be a way that he could, you know, kind of reassert himself into the game, is to say, yeah, I'm gonna spend these next few months paying someone, find a Ron Washington type, yeah, to help me, and I'll be a full-fledged utility guy. You need me to play second, you need me to play short, you need me to play outfield, I can do it.
I think that would be a good way to go to show that position flexibility. I probably move him over to left, again, with the lower half injury history. I don't think I would have him roaming in center field. But when in the World Baseball Classic, Team USA coaching staff raved about his ability to play second base. And with the shift ban, maybe that makes sense, in which at shortstop, you get exposed at times where second base doesn't get as many balls that they have to handle. So maybe that is the position switch moving forward for Anderson.
What did you think of Darryl Van Scallen's Kenny Williams piece?
I laughed. I just imagine how this piece was. Like, the Sun-Times just, you know, what can we write about? You know, who haven't we spoken to in a while? I mean, we're all in this position because we're covering a historical White Sox team this season. Hey, you know what? What is Kenny Williams doing these days? And calling Kenny up. And, you know,
I'm shocked he picked up the phone. I'm honestly shocked that he picked up the phone.
Yeah.
That's good work by the Dutchman.
Yeah, they
got a White Sox business.
Yeah, you did.
White Sox business, yeah. I laughed. I mean, he still wants to be in baseball. I know that he was just at Baseball's Hall of Fame because they're doing a lot about the Negro Leagues at the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's been part of it, as well as White Sox assistant GM Josh Barfield. So he's been keeping busy, but going back into the front office, Kenny's in the same boat as Ozzie Guillen. Like, you're going to have to demonstrate that you understand what is going on in modern baseball today and stop fighting against the current. And I don't know how Kenny does that. Ozzie at least has a platform. He's on the pre and post game show. He's on TV. He can speak his mind more publicly, and that gives teams an opportunity to understand the mind of Ozzie Guillen. I don't know how you do that with Kenny Williams today, but I wish him the best of luck.
Josh, Kenny Williams to me has an above average resume.
Yes.
For a GM. 20 plus years, GM / EVP, whatever. How much of a factor do you think it is, though? How much does it work against him that the two pretty good teams that he helped put together underachieved? The mid-2000s team, the late teens team, like they did not, or early 20s team, they did not get as much out of those as we all think they should have.
Yeah, I think that impacts a little bit. I think what crushes him is this last 5-year stretch for the White Sox. Your draft history is ugly. 2016, you had 2 first round picks and you used it on Zach Collins and Zach Birdie, a college reliever. The White Sox don't have their 2017 first rounder on the team. Traded Nick Madrigal. That was your 2018 first rounder. So just so many wasted opportunities, especially in draft history for Kenny Williams, maybe even the last decade, maybe in the last 15 years, that I think just crushes his ability to ever become a GM or a president of baseball operations.
I had another question about something you mentioned where you were talking about Daryl sitting there being like, well, what do I write about?
Yeah.
I've always wondered what that's like because I've been a beat writer in the other sports, but never baseball. I've always, early in my career would fill in covering Marlins weekend series or something like that. But I always wondered what do you cover about a team on a daily basis when you go into it knowing they're going to be bad?
Yeah.
Or at least very strongly believing they're going to be bad. And then it turns out they are. I mean, the White Sox were sunk 2 weeks in probably.
Yeah.
Mathematically. Yeah. And now they're the worst team in baseball, but there's still half a season left.
Right.
I mean, what are you writing? What are you covering? If I'm watching, what should I be watching for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what James Feegan is focusing on right now is trying to answer questions of like, how is Michael Soroka all of a sudden pitching better? And I'm focusing on the MLB draft that's coming up on Sunday, July 14th. I just did a show with Jim Callis of MLB.com. You can check that out on SoxMachine.com. There's been a bunch of promotions as well. Jim Margulis has been keeping an eye on that for the White Sox top prospects, moving from Birmingham AA to Charlotte. Edgar Caro, their top catching prospect, was part of those promotions. We have had a conversation at Sox Machine. Instead of sending James on the road to cover the White Sox, we'll send him to a couple more road series. That it makes more sense to send him to North Carolina for him to go visit the Charlotte Knights and the Winston-Salem Dash and the Kannapolis Cannonballers and see what's going on for the future for the White Sox. Because while you may think 2024 is awful, the outlook for 2025 is not looking much better for the White Sox.
Oh,
so
good.
We're yeah, exactly. So we're kind of looking ahead to like 2026 already.
Go White Sox.
Yep.
We'll probably all stay out of White Sox business for another year, I would imagine.
Right? Well, it doesn't look good. I mean, and then we have the trade deadline that's coming up, and that's going to keep us busy. If the White Sox trade Garrett Crochet, all of a sudden, that's every fifth day, you don't have something exciting to cover. If they trade Eric Fetty, boy, I don't know how this team wins 40 games, to be honest with you. Then you're writing history, literally baseball history, the worst team in the last 100 years that we are suddenly covering. It's not fun, but people may have to reference our work when they write about the worst teams ever in Major League Baseball history, and one of them is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
I just don't know what you do with the games in this context, Lawrence. Because you go back a couple years, the Bears are 3-14. But you still care, Bears, fill in the blank team, Bears versus anybody. Do you tell me what am I supposed to be watching for, White Sox Marlins tonight?
So here's the thing, because look, we've had these discussions inside of our own meetings. You know, my partner doesn't watch games anymore. Like, he's just like, I'm not.
Coward.
Like, I'm not. He's like, I'm not doing it. And I understand that. I feel an obligation to still watch the games because there might be something interesting for us to talk about at there, whether it's the broadcast or something cool happens inside of the game, or you see like a couple nights ago, and Layla and I were talking about this yesterday, a couple nights ago, there's this odd play at the end of the game where Luis Robert just says, even though he has a chance to throw out a runner from third going home, just like, gonna do it. Now if we were covering the White Sox a little bit more forensically, that's an A1 topic the next day. If the White Sox were a wild card team, the next day would have been like, what the hell happened last night with Luis Robert in Cleveland? Why didn't he throw the ball home? And then we could have talked about, well, what are the chances that he throws the runner out? Did he position himself well? Are the White Sox teaching good White Sox center field habits? All of that stuff. But because, like Josh says, they're maybe one of the worst teams in the game, it becomes laborious to do that. And I'm not even sure that the score listener even wants that. because they've probably hit the eject button too. They're like, why would I spend my time? If you're a White Sox fan, you've got your summer back. Like, you're able to go do whatever it is that you weren't able to do because you're like, man, I love to lock in on these games. And now you're like, I don't have to lock in on these games.
I mean, that is our slogan, Sox Machine. We watch the White Sox, so you don't have to.
That's right.
It's like, just visit us and listen to our show. We'll get you caught up. We'll even skip the Luis Robert play in our upcoming podcast. But, yeah, in the upcoming weeks, it's trade deadline. It's MLB draft.
Since we brought up Robert, let me ask you, because he's been terrific. Like, the slug, the batting average, not so much, but the slug has been outstanding. Do you think that how do you think they feel about this? Do they think that he is more valuable to the White Sox as a White Sox, or he's more valuable in a trade?
Trade now, because I think it is dawning on the White Sox, we're not going to be good next year. We may not even be good in 2026. We got 3 years of control left for Luis Robert. So you have to justify, it's that line graph, and how do you maximize a value in return of a trade? They're playing this game with Garrett Crochet right now, where they think that now is the time. He's going to be on an innings limit. Whoever we trade him to may put him on the same innings limit that we are. So if we're going to maximize the value ever in a trade for Garrett Crochet, the time is coming up. Same thing with Luis Robert, but Lawrence, I don't know of any team right now that's going to meet the asking price for Chris Getz of Luis Robert. So if a trade doesn't happen before July 30th, I think there's a strong chance that in the winter meetings down in Dallas, Texas, that Luis Robert could be traded. That might be the more suitable time when teams get an opportunity to evaluate him and he plays a little bit more games. But right now, Robert at the plate is definitely in YOLO mode. What I mean by that, I am swinging for the fences, baby. I don't care if I hit 220. My slugging percentage means a lot more to me right now, and I want to demonstrate to a future potential team that trades for me, I am here to hit for power.
Josh, as always, man, thank you. You didn't have to come in here, but you did.
Absolutely. I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. I love your guys' podcast. So, Jason and Tony, keep doing the awesome work. And,
well, they retired.
Yeah,
now.
We won't be, but thank you.
They did their last episode last week.
See, I'm like 2 weeks behind nice everyone, and now you just spoiled it.
Sorry.
Way to go, Lawrence.
Studs, thank you.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I appreciated the work that you did over the last few years.
Yes, I did too. It was very good.
But no, have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That is our guy, Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine.
Sox Machine.
Yeah, we love Sox Machine. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason made the point earlier when we went through the rundown of things to talk about. He was like, this is really sad. Chicago sports is really sad. There's really only one place that one can, well, I guess two. We can look at Angel Reese specifically or the Bears. So since Jason covers the Bears, next segment we're going to talk about the Bears here on The Score.
Bears.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are about, 10 days away from the rookies reporting to training camp, and then the veterans will come in on the 19th, and then we're off and running. As the Bears get ready for the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, they are the only source outside of Angel Reese. And quite honestly, real talk, I know we haven't had a lot of chance to talk about this, Kennedy Carter should have been an all-star. There, I'll say it. I've said it. Anyway, that's really the only joy that a Chicago sports fan has right now, is thinking about what could happen with the Bears. So, Jason Leisure, who's here, Tony Gill is here. I'm Lawrence. I'm usually here. They're here today for Dan Bernstein, which is very nice. This is nice of you guys to do this, and thank you for coming in and hanging out with me.
If we fused, do you think we could be Dan? Like if me and Jason fused?
No.
Did the Dragon Ball Z fusion?
No. You guys would turn into something more powerful than Dan if you two fused.
Damn. Okay. I like that idea.
Yeah.
The worst.
So, Jason, what's it like to live in this space where everyone is coming to your beat for hope? Enjoy.
About time, man. It's about time. It's about time. I'm excited for it.
Me too.
I will tolerate no Bears cynicism right now from anybody. There's been plenty of time. Like, there's been plenty of times Bears fans have gotten excited in my lifetime, and you felt like, I don't know if you really should be, but this feels legitimate to me. And I'm excited as a reporter because for me, I have never, Lawrence, covered an NFL season that I would say was one of those
good
fun seasons.
That's right, because you had the Dolphins.
I've covered a couple teams that made the playoffs, but they weren't fun seasons. They weren't clearly headed somewhere.
Yeah, that Dolphins team that you covered in the playoffs, didn't they kind of like backdoor into the playoffs and they had no chance to win their playoff game?
I think that's most Dolphins playoff seasons, and as well as the Bears, honestly. It's so funny to me, though, the last 2 years that the state of Chicago sports has gotten to the point where, not just this year, 2 years in a row, we've been talking about the Bears being the team that everybody feels best about. Everyone feels best about the Bears in 2023 after being the literal worst team in the NFL at 3-14. And everyone feels the best about the Bears out of the pro teams right now, even though they were bottom 10 in the league last year. Now, there's a lot that is promising, but it's still a lot more faith than proof. But I'm thrilled about all of the attention on it. I'm thrilled about the idea that this is going to be interesting and exciting. And this looks like an unprecedented, I think, opportunity in NFL history where you have a team that is pretty much built, kind of pretty much ready to go on the brink. Probably if they had done nothing, would have been favored in Vegas to be a playoff team this upcoming season. And then you add the number one overall draft pick, and not just that, but a quarterback that people have been waiting for a couple of years, one of those once every couple of years prospects like Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck, as far as how he's graded as a college player. I mean, it's really, really exciting. And it's no wonder to me that the Bears are going to be featured on HBO. The Bears will probably get flexed into some games this year because people will actually want to watch them. instead of being stuck with it because we're a big market and you're some guy sitting in Denver who wants to turn on Monday Night Football because you love Monday Night Football and you're all excited and you got all your snacks ready and everything. And you turn it on and it's Bears Commanders and you're just like, oh, okay, all right.
Wasn't it? Because I remember the excitement going into 2018 where this was the for sure. This was like, this is it. The Bears
2019.
The Bears are on the come up. This is it. Just made the playoffs. Here we go. And then it was awful. So, and you were there. You were there covering.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference in excitement from that offseason to this one.
Well, that offseason, I think everyone still knew, even though the stats were okay and Mitch Trubisky was Pro Bowl alternate number 7 or whatever, I think everybody still had a lot of questions. Everyone still knew that, well, you're trying to win without the most important piece. You're trying to cover up a deficiency, which just happens to be the one deficiency that you probably will never be able to cover up.
You do have Akeem Hicks. You do have Khalil Mack. And people were like, oh, okay, you know, get after it, that sort of thing. I remember, I don't know, Tony, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember what we did? We did a show from the lobby.
Yeah.
We did a show from the lobby, and it was like a Bears celebration day. And I remember
opener?
Yeah.
I was there.
That's right. And then I did the TV show from Grant Park, the old Sports Talk Live.
It was like
Live.
The Super Bowl was going to be here.
And I remember vividly Matt Nagy coming into Soldier Field dressed as Papa Bear Hallis.
Mm-hmm, the fedora.
And people went crazy on the internet. Bears by a million! And then they ended up losing.
I thought that team would be good, too. I didn't think it was. I still thought they had the major problem at quarterback, and right now they have a major mystery at quarterback. We all think Caleb Williams will be really good. They clearly think they've turned down who knows what kind of offers for that number one pick, but you don't know yet.
I also remember doing those Is Mitch Good shows.
Tony, I joked about that because I'm going to go to SEC Media Days All-Star Week this week or 2 weeks from now. And I said that usually that was reserved for Is Mitch Trubisky Good week. We would just have people on. And
you guys did a whole week of shows, right, of Is Mitch Good?
Yeah. Every day we'd have different experts on, and they would give us their opinion on whether he was good.
And nobody had an answer.
Isn't that
isn't the topic itself the answer?
Of course it is. That was the whole bit. So I mean, I guess you could do that with Caleb if you wanted to. You could have a whole week of Is Caleb Good, and then bring all the people on that wanted to talk there about the college process. You could just do that. That'd be fine.
Tone, do you think people are over it with Justin Fields now? Do you think that Chicago has collectively moved on?
I think so. As much as to see the civil war happening on social media and in person, I think I might have saw somebody slap somebody over this. Maybe, I don't know.
What?
It could have been that, or they could have just were arguing over a parking spot. So, you know.
Okay.
One way or another, somebody got slapped.
Somebody got slapped.
And one of them was wearing a Tyson Bagent jersey.
Good bloodlines. Can we play that? Because I don't know if these two have ever heard that call. Tony, this is, be ready for this. This, you got it, studs? Be ready for this. This is someone calling in to tell us why Tyson Bagent should be the Bears quarterback.
I had to get on the line. I had to pick up the phone about Bagent. He's the real deal. This is coming from a pure bloodline. I think you're going to get a stud in this kid, and I think he's the real deal.
That was on the morning show, I think, the day after his first start.
The day after beating the Raiders.
Of arm wrestlers?
No. Not a good look for the whites. that phone call. He doesn't speak for all of us, okay?
But I think people have finally moved on. I think people have seen and watched and heard and listened on how Caleb is moving, how he's performing in practices, because now everything he does is covered now. And you guys are doing a great job with that at Sun Times. But I think people have finally gotten over it, that there's been enough tape on the reasons why Justin couldn't return. He wasn't a bad person. It was just the way he plays quarterback isn't at a level that Caleb can play at the same pace
that we hope Caleb can play at.
Fair. But even in college, if you just want to compare college tape, it just looks different.
It does. I would say Justin's college tape is superior to his pro tape.
His college tape's amazing.
Yes.
It was one of the indictments of the Bears because they have a part in this failure. This isn't just Justin Fields. This isn't just Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Although I would say I'd start with those two.
That's the part that people can't separate.
We're fired up about that.
So even like this guy texted, say, oh, Lawrence hasn't moved on. All I want is for people to admit that it wasn't just Justin. That's all I want is for people to understand that he was dealt such a bad hand. And it seems like here's where I think is a positive. It feels like to me, Ryan Poles has learned from the mistakes. He may make different mistakes, but he's not going to make the same mistake.
Offensive line.
No, not even that. With the quarterback himself, we're not going to play stupid games. I'm not going to bring some veteran quarterback in here and say that this guy is the quarterback and the other guy needs to be an apprentice. Even though Matt Eberflus is in a space where he needs to win games to probably keep his job, Ryan Poles isn't setting Caleb Williams up to fail. He's saying, we're going to give you, it's your job. And everyone here knows it. There's no Mike Glennon BS. There's no Andy Dalton BS. Caleb, this is your team. And I don't know if it would have worked out for Justin had they done that, but they would have been farther along faster if they would have. They would have known some of the answers to the questions going into year three instead of waiting until after year three. Because you remember what it was at the beginning. It was like, well, we've got this package of plays that we're going to run for Justin near the goal line. But Andy's our guy. And then Andy gets hurt because that's what happens to quarterbacks and especially old quarterbacks.
Lawrence, that was it's such a disaster. If you think about the lead up, and we can move on from the Justin Fields conversation into how this would apply with Caleb Williams. They had him working with the second string the whole offseason. They said from day one, we're not even going to, because they had to promise Andy Dalton the starting job
to get him away from the 49ers.
And then you get into the season opener and you're on the road against the Rams, who did they win the championship that year? I think.
Yes.
I think that was the start of the Rams championship. And you've got Dalton's in there, and then you throw in Justin Fields for second down, and guess what? That's one of Matt Nagy's plays that didn't work. And then Andy Dalton goes back in on 3rd and 14. Figure it out, bud. And, I mean, you got no rhythm. You got no rhythm for the game. Run on in there on 3rd. And after the game, I'm asking Matt Nagy, hey, do you think that might be problematic? And he's, oh, we should look at that. And now you go into this year, and you talk about doing things the right way, doing this clean, doing this the best possible way for Caleb Williams. Their process gives me so much confidence in what they're doing because you get a 6th-round pick for Justin Fields, maybe a 4th if he plays more than half the snaps. Wouldn't Justin Fields be more valuable just in the vacuum of a football roster? Wouldn't Justin Fields be more valuable to the Bears as their backup quarterback this year than the pick? Obviously. But what a dysfunctional way to do things that would have been.
You don't want that
and
locker
that was
room.
Never going to happen. If they had not been able to trade Justin Fields, which was pretty close to being the case, given that there were minimal offers.
They would have had to cut him.
They would have cut him. Yeah. I can tell you for a fact they would have cut him in order to do this the best possible way. And when you talk about Ryan Poles learning from mistakes, that's one of the things that gives me a lot of confidence in him right now. When I look through the Bears organization, I look at, you know, from the ownership down, who do you feel really confident in? Who do you feel really good about? Ryan Poles has to be on your list of guys that you feel really good about. Matt Eberflus isn't.
He's got to earn it.
He's looking like a question mark right now. He's got to show you something. But Ryan Poles has done this rebuild through a lot of mistakes. He has made mistakes at wide receiver, for example, with Claypool, drafting Velus Jones. It's a 3rd-round pick. It's not that big of a deal. And recovered.
Your first offensive pick, it's a big deal.
He has pivoted, though, and put together a very good wide receiver group in the end. He inherited a situation at quarterback that was not good. You have a guy that is not, you have a guy in Justin Fields who's talented, but not your type of quarterback, clearly. And if you look at the other quarterbacks they brought in, I always wondered, why do they not get backups that play like Justin plays? Probably because the backups they bring in fit what they want and Justin doesn't. So you get stuck with a quarterback that you didn't pick, that isn't your type of quarterback, that, by the way, the reason you don't have a first round pick, probably I think it was number 5 overall your first year as GM, is because the old GM traded that pick to get Justin Fields. And now you now you figure it out and you end up with Caleb Williams. And they've gotten lucky in some ways. Ryan Poles has acknowledged they've gotten lucky with the way some things fell as far as getting that pick in particular. But the way he has recovered from mistakes and pivoted from things that didn't work out is one of the things that gives me a lot of confidence in him. And if Eberflus, for example, ends up being a mistake, I would feel confident in Ryan Poles sticking around and picking the next coach.
I agree. And I just think that it's cleaner. Like, everything is cleaner. And again, I don't know if this is going to work. I just know that the way that Poles is going about this is so much cleaner than almost all of his predecessors who have had that job. And I'm not just banging on Ryan Pace. I mean, even towards the end of Jerry Angelo and his tenure as general manager of the team, this is a cleaner process. It feels more well thought out, that he's looking at it and he's saying, okay, how can we make this easy? Like, and we can use Justin as an example. We can't have Justin here. He is too well liked in this locker room. We can't have Caleb come into a locker room where a lot of guys went to bat with publicly, the general manager, and publicly, mm-hmm, for the backup quarterback. You can't have that. We're going to get him up out of here.
That's not on Justin, by the way. I think Justin could have done it. He's that much of a mature professional.
I agree. And I think that he's kind of doing the same thing in Pittsburgh, where I think there are a lot of guys that are like, the new hotness versus the old hotness, but we'll see. Then you say, okay, Caleb, what are we going to do to get him up and running instead of waiting to hand the card in? No, we're going to get with his quarterback coach before, and we're going to say, this is what we're doing. These are the types of things that Caleb should be working on, so that he has a chance to, he has the best possible chance to succeed from the moment he puts on a Bears uniform.
And for all those reasons, their process is so clean and sensible as far as the personnel they've put in place around him, the roster he's walking into, everything else you just mentioned. It's going to be hard to even be mad at them if it doesn't work out.
Right.
It just, the process makes so much sense. I don't know how anyone could sit here, if, let's say it doesn't work out, I don't know how anyone could sit here 3 years from now.
You can't blame them.
You'd sit here and say, I would have done the same thing.
The only thing, mm-hmm, that you could say is you could go back to the scouting part of it. And would you have been better off going another direction with another quarterback and getting more picks because you had the number one? But pretty much everyone told you, not only is this the guy in this year's draft, this is the guy for the next few drafts. So if you've got a chance to draft the best quarterback that you're going to have an opportunity to, why not take it? Now, I'm very high on Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels, yeah, is going to be good. But Caleb has the opportunity to be great. And a lot of people believe that he has a chance to be great. So why not, if you believe it, and Ryan Poles in every interview that he's done, we did a thing earlier this week, he did a film session with Cynthia Freeland, and it was really good, and he was talking about all the things that he's seeing in practice with Caleb Williams. If that's what you believe, then you got to pour everything into it. That's the mistake of Fields and Trubisky. There was never a full pour into those players.
Because there was always somebody that was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Like, when in the drafting of Mr. Trubisky, right?
You John lied Fox to your head like, coach, nah. Yes.
Well, and that's another example of the process being so flawed.
Right.
That, yeah, that you, even if that had worked out, you never want them taking that process again. If this doesn't work out, you still kind of like their process. But with both of those guys, Fields and Trubisky, and much more so Trubisky, there's a ceiling on those guys. There's only so far those guys could have gone. But I assure you, the Bears did not find the ceiling with either of those guys. And one of the big problems I saw with both of those was they had this list of things they liked about both of those guys as prospects. Oh, we're going to draft you off your athleticism. But then when you get here, we don't want you to play that anymore.
Yeah, don't
do that anymore.
No, we're going to do this quick pass game, and we need you to read.
Justin Fields, Ohio State, Highlights are incredible. They're amazing. And there's not that much running on there. There's athleticism, but not what you saw when he ran for 1,000 yards here. And then you saw Luke Getsy, Matt Nagy, whoever, do none of that.
Yeah, and it,
that's
and
on
it,
me.
It is on you, although he was telling everyone down at the combine that it wasn't on him. That dude.
Getsy?
Yeah. Everyone who would listen, if they were in a certain bar at a certain time, Luke Getsy was telling you everything you needed to know about why things went badly.
There's a lot of reasons.
Our culture is awesome.
I wish nothing but bad professional results for Luke Getsy.
Well, I mean, he's probably going to be one and done. The job he took with the Raiders looks like a get fired after one year job.
Yeah. I actually, the wedding I was at this last weekend, one of the guys there is a big Raiders fan, and I was telling him about Getsy. I'm like, dude, you got to watch out for this guy. I'm like he can draw up a game plan, but if the defense he's facing adjusts, then you're in trouble.
Then
that's it.
Dead.
That's it. And that's one of the things that factored into them hiring Shane Waldron and interviewing guys like Cliff Kingsbury is we need a guy that's been a play caller in games before that knows what to do when plan A doesn't work.
Yep. We've got High Noon coming up next. We only have one story for High Noon, and it's FAFO. This is not really the guy that you want to FA with. We'll explain next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
High Noon, we do it every day around this time. We'd let you know what we talk about. We talked a little bit about the Bulls. We threw in some conversation about the White Sox with Josh Nelson, which was great. We talked about the Kenny Williams piece that Darryl Van Scowen had for the Sun-Times. It is really worth your time. You should go and read it. And we talked about the Bears being the only source of hope. It's High Noon. Jason, you brought this to our attention. You lead us off with this.
A parade in the Los Angeles area for 4th of July went a little sideways, Lawrence. And in that process, in that parade going off track, one of the attendees at the parade found themselves face-to-face in a fist fight with 80-year-old Danny Trejo.
We have a news report on this.
And sparks of a different kind flew at Sunland Tahunga's 4th of July parade when actor Danny Trejo got out of the car he was riding in and got into a fight on the sidewalk. Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Fisher is here with video details and reaction. Michelle.
Yeah, Giovanna, actor Danny Trejo, the talk of the Sunland Tahunga Independence Day parade for all the wrong reasons tonight. As you mentioned, he got out of the vehicle that he was riding in the parade at one point and violently confronted someone in the crowd, at one point even picking up a folding chair and tossing it towards people that had just been observing what was happening. Let's go ahead and take a look at some video that we have here for you tonight. This is the aftermath of this all and the chaos that ensued as Trejo argues with a woman who appeared to be holding him back and trying to prevent things from escalating. An Eyewitness News viewer who was there sharing the footage, he says he immediately pulled out his cell phone capturing these heated moments, which reportedly lasted nearly 10 minutes before police showed up with the parade at a standstill. Just minutes prior, though, Trejo was in the parade posing for selfies as his classic convertible rolled down the route. When it was hit by a water balloon, our eyewitness tells us that that's when things unraveled.
This parade is like a thing where you throw water balloons back and forth at each other. That's like the whole thing, you know, where they throw water at us, you know, we get them back. The reason why Danny was so infuriated was because usually, you know, people don't throw water balloons at the fancy cars when they come by.
And it's been a rough week for Trejo, who just days ago posted to Instagram the sad news that he had lost one of his dogs, a pet. Now, tonight we did reach out to Trejo's representatives for comments, also the organizers of the parade, to see if they had a statement on this incident. But tonight we have not heard back from either of those people.
Okay, so I don't know if people know this.
There's a lot going on.
About Danny Trejo, but...
You're a real one.
He is the definition of a real one.
He is 80 years old, but when he gets hit with a water balloon driving his convertible in a parade, he's about that action.
Danny Trejo has faced capital murder charges. He has faced confinement. He was the San Quentin light heavyweight and heavyweight champion. He was a champion boxer in a prison.
I mean, you covered it. That,
so
I was like, I had this one. He had his first arrest at the age of 10.
Quite a credential.
So I'm not sure. Like, there are a lot of people you don't want to mess with. He's on the list. I tell people all the time, Olin Krutz, you don't want to play that game. You can play that game if you want. You do not want to play that game with, Danny Trejo. You don't want to play that game with him.
I'm curious about this idea of, it's one of these parades where you just throw water balloons at the performers in the parade. And you know, just sometimes Danny Trejo gets hit in the face, with a water balloon.
And good, I'm sure clean American fun.
I'm sure Danny Trejo was like, who the you think you throwing a water balloon at? And got his 80-year-old ass up out of that car.
Did they not tell him that this is what they do?
I'm not convinced that this is what they do. I've never heard of a parade where we throw water balloons at the people in the parade. Adam, how would you describe this this witness, this eyewitness, this man on the street that ABC 7 in LA talked to?
I didn't see him. I only have listened to it.
Oh, so, I saw his shirt.
I saw his shirt,
too. I haven't seen the shirt.
Sean, what did his shirt say?
I like older women.
That's what his shirt says. Yes.
So clearly a great testimony from this person.
Which
that's
is
the only
fine. Which is fine.
Floor.
It's fine. He doesn't strike me as the most professional.
It's a strong possibility witness. That it probably was a kid and had no idea who Danny Trejo was.
He knows now.
He knows for
gonna
real,
learn
for
today.
Real.
Yeah.
You're going to learn F-A-F-O. Like, this is how you end up in those moments where you find out. You're like, I didn't know. Now you found out. Because an 80-year-old man jumped out of the car and whooped
put
your ass.
Put
like, let me get at you, young fella. I saw a video the other day, a reel. And you know, Tony types be on here on TikTok and on reels, and they be doing these gags. And this one dude's at this older guy. He's probably around my age, maybe a little older. He's at the grocery store, and he's got his stuff on the conveyor. And he's getting ready to pay, and this guy's like, yo, is this your stuff? And he's like, yeah. He's like, no, it's my stuff now. And the guy was like, what's going on? Like, are you doing, like, a video or something? Like, because this is not cool. And the guy's like, no, this is my stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, I would advise you to not take my stuff. Because I'm packing. And so the guy wouldn't let it go. And he was like, where's it at? And the guy was like, oh. And then he looked over and he's like, oh, I see your man's is over there filming too. I got something for both of y'all. And you see him step back and you can see where he has it. Now, he didn't brandish it, but he definitely had it. And he was like, I've been having a really bad day. It was like Jules in Pulp Fiction where he's like, I'm trying to be the shepherd, but I'm going to shoot both y'all asses if you don't get out of this line. And then eventually, like, the guy saw that he had it and he was like, we was just playing, man.
How do you, like, even if a guy threatens you, I'm just going to believe you. Like, okay, yeah, go ahead, man.
You over here getting shot over a prank. Yeah.
I don't want to find out if you actually have the gun.
Well, it's like the water balloon thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's just what we do here. We pretend it's my stuff, your stuff. You know, it's just, we're just playing around.
Sometimes people don't play the way that you play. And let me tell you right now, 100%, Danny Trejo don't play the way that you play.
I don't know why this is such a difference in the generations where younger people are like, oh, we're just joking around or we're just playing. Like, it's usually like a universal acceptance that you just don't mess with people unexpectedly. I don't know why there is such a difference in thinking. In that aspect.
That I don't know, but I gotta find this video, Tony, because he stepped back so that you couldn't see him pull the weapon on camera. It was real, like, and I was like, oh, not only is this guy like old school, like this is an old school gangster. Mm-hmm. Cause he was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then stepped behind like a partition. so you couldn't see he had it. And then he was like, I got it. what you want to do. Sir, it was a prank. I'm very sorry. See,
Tony's right, though, about this being a generational thing, because as a policy, I choose not to F.A. with people I don't know.
It's a good policy.
My jokes and messing around and goof-offs are with my friends.
That's the way.
I'll throw a water balloon at Tone because I know he's not going to go Danny Trejo at me. I'm not going to throw a water balloon at that guy
at
down there
guy.
On the street.
Right, because you don't know.
I don't know him.
You don't know.
It may turn out he does not take kindly to getting hit in the face with a water balloon.
I don't know who does, to tell you the honest truth. We can ask our guy, Russ Dorsey, about this. He is going to join us. We're going to talk baseball with him. We also got something else that we're going to throw at Russ. It's not a water balloon, because I know Russ got it. We're going to take a break. Back after this, Bernstein and Holmes, Lawrence, Tony, Jason Leisure here on The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street. In front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
High noon. We do it every day around this time. We'd let you know what we talk about. We talked a little bit about the Bulls. We threw in some conversation about the White Sox with Josh Nelson, which was great. We talked about the Kenny Williams piece that Darryl Van Scouten had for the Sun-Times. It is really worth your time. You should go and read it. And we talked about the Bears being the only source of hope. Jason, you brought this to our attention. You lead us off with this.
A parade in the Los Angeles area for 4th of July went a little sideways, Lawrence. And in that process, in that parade going off track, one of the attendees at the parade found themselves face-to-face in a fist fight with 80-year-old Danny Trejo.
We have a news report on this.
And
Sparks of a different kind flew at Sunland Tahunga's 4th of July parade when actor Danny Trejo got out of the car he was riding in and got into a fight on the sidewalk. Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Fisher is here with video details and reaction. Michelle.
Yeah, Giovanna, actor Danny Trejo, the talk of the Sunland Tahunga Independence Day parade for all the wrong reasons tonight. As you mentioned, he got out of the vehicle that he was riding in the parade at one point and violently confronted someone in the crowd, at one point even picking up a folding chair and tossing it towards people that had just been observing what was happening. Let's go ahead and take a look at some video that we have here for you tonight. This is the aftermath of this all and the chaos that ensued as Trejo argues with a woman who appeared to be holding him back and trying to prevent things from escalating. An Eyewitness News viewer who was there sharing the footage, he says he immediately pulled out his cell phone capturing these heated moments, which reportedly lasted nearly 10 minutes before police showed up with the parade at a standstill. Just minutes prior, though, Trejo was in the parade posing for selfies as his classic convertible rolled down the route. When it was hit by a water balloon, our eyewitness tells us that that's when things unraveled.
This parade is like a thing where you throw water balloons back and forth at each other. That's like the whole thing, you know, where they throw water at us, you know, we get them back. The reason why Danny was so infuriated was because usually, you know, people don't throw water balloons at the fancy cars when they come by.
And it's been a rough week for Trejo, who just days ago posted to Instagram the sad news that he had lost one of his dogs, a pet. Now, tonight we did reach out to Trejo's representatives for comments, also the organizers of the parade, to see if they had a statement on this incident. But tonight we have not heard back from either of those people.
Okay, so I don't know if people know this.
There's a lot going on.
About Danny Trejo, but...
You're a real one.
He is the definition of a real one.
He is 80 years old, but when he gets hit with a water balloon driving his convertible in a parade, he's about that action.
Danny Trejo has faced capital murder charges. He has faced confinement. He was the San Quentin light heavyweight and heavyweight champion. He was a champion boxer in a prison.
I mean, you covered it.
So
I was like, I had this one. He had his first arrest at the age of 10.
Quite a credential.
So I'm not sure. Like, there are a lot of people you don't want to mess with. He's on the list. I tell people all the time, Olin Krutz, you don't want to play that game. You can play that game if you want. You do not want to play that game with, Danny Trejo, you don't want to play that game with him.
I'm curious about this idea of, you know, it's one of these parades where you just throw water balloons at the performers in the parade. And you know, just sometimes Danny Trejo gets hit in the face, you know, with a water balloon.
And good, I'm sure clean American fun.
I'm sure Danny Trejo was like, who the you think you throwing a water balloon at? And got his 80-year-old ass up out of that car.
Did they not tell him that this is what they do?
I'm not convinced that this is what they do. I've never heard of a parade where we throw water balloons at the people in the parade. Adam, how would you describe this this witness, this eyewitness, this man on the street that ABC 7 in LA talked to?
I didn't see him. I only have listened to it.
Oh, so, I saw his shirt.
I saw his shirt,
I haven't seen
too.
The shirt.
Sean, what did his shirt say?
I like older women.
That's what his shirt says. Yes.
So clearly a great testimony from this person.
Which
That's
is
the only
fine. Which is fine.
Floor.
It's fine. He doesn't strike me as the most professional.
It's a strong possibility witness. That it probably was a kid and had no idea who Danny Trejo was.
He knows now.
He knows for
gonna
real,
learn
for
today.
Real.
Yeah.
You're going to learn F-A-F-O. Like, this is how you end up in those moments where you find out. You're like, I didn't know. Now you found out. Because an 80-year-old man jumped out of the car and whooped
put
your ass.
It's
like, let me get at you, young fella. I saw a video the other day, a reel. And you know, Tony types be on here on TikTok and on reels, and they be doing these gags. And this one dude's at this older guy, he's probably around my age, maybe a little older. He's at the grocery store and he's got his stuff on the conveyor. And he's getting ready to pay. And this guy's like, yo, is this your stuff? And he's like, yeah. He's like, nah, it's my stuff now. And the guy was like, what's going on? Like, are you doing like a video or something? Like, cause this is not cool. And the guy's like, nah, this is my stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, I would advise you to not take my stuff. because I'm packing. And so the guy wouldn't let it go. And he was like, where's it at? And the guy was like, oh. And then he looked over and he's like, oh, I see your man's is over there filming too. I got something for both of y'all. And you see him step back and you can see where he has it. Now, he didn't brandish it, but he definitely had it. And he was like, I've been having a really bad day. It was like Jules in Pulp Fiction, where he's like, I'm trying to be the shepherd, but I'm going to shoot both y'all asses if you don't get out of this line. And then eventually, like, the guy saw that he had it, and he was like, we was just playing, man.
How do you, like, even if a guy threatens you, I'm just going to believe you. Like, okay, yeah, go ahead, man.
You over here getting shot over a prank. Yeah.
I don't want to find out if you actually have the gun.
Well, it's like the water balloon thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's just what we do here. We pretend it's my stuff, your stuff. You know, it's just, we're just playing around.
Sometimes people don't play the way that you play. And let me tell you right now, 100%, Danny Trejo don't play the way that you play.
I don't know why this is such a difference in the generations, where younger people are like, oh, we're just joking around, or we're just playing. Like, it's usually like a universal acceptance that you just don't mess with people unexpectedly. I don't know why there is such a difference in thinking. In that aspect,
that I don't know, but it was. I gotta find this video, Tony, because he stepped back so that you couldn't see him pull the weapon on camera. It was real, like, and I was like, oh, not only is this guy like old school, like, this is an old school gangster, because he was like, yeah, okay, yeah, and then stepped behind like a partition so you couldn't see he had it. And then he was like, I got it. What you want to do? Serves a prank? I'm very sorry.
Tony's right, though, about this being a generational thing. Because as a policy, I choose not to F.A. with people I don't know.
It's a good policy.
My jokes and messing around and goof-offs are with my friends.
That's the way.
I'll throw a water balloon at Tone because I know he's not going to go Danny Trejo at me. I'm not going to throw a water balloon at that guy
at
down there.
Guy.
On the street.
Right, because you don't know.
I don't know him.
You don't know.
It may turn out he does not take kindly to getting hit in the face with a water balloon.
I don't know who does, to tell you the honest truth. We can ask our guy, Russ Dorsey, about this. He is going to join us. We're going to talk baseball with him. We also got something else that we're going to throw at Russ. It's not a water balloon, because I know Russ got it. We're going to take a break. Back after this, Bernstein and Holmes, Lawrence, Tony, Jason Leisure here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.